exciting and new. Come aboard, we're expecting you.
Caveman here.
I'm Peter.
Welcome to Popcorn with Candy, the show where we talk about the films of the late, great John Candy in chronological order. This week we're talking about Summer Rental. From 1985, but if you look on iTunes, it was released in 2001.
Really?
Yeah, so there we were in the shadow of 9/11, wondering when we would be able to laugh again, and suddenly this great John Candy classic comes out.
About a plane accident.
Sort of.
Yes.
Oh my God. That's dark.
That's how it started?
Kind of, yeah. Oh, I don't know why. It says released in 2001 on iTunes.
This is a prequel to Pushing 10.
It is, yeah. So this is directed by Carl Reiner, who's a legend. Legend to me for just a few things, though. I mean, I know he's like a comedy legend. Goes back, all the Sid Caesar stuff, Dick Van Dyke stuff. But he directed Summer School.
Great movie.
All of Me with Steve Martin.
Pretty good movie.
The Jerk.
Awesome movie.
And Oh God.
Reasonable movie.
Ugh, that's your rating system. Yeah. Those are my favorites that I saw. But
The Jerk is one of the best movies ever.
It's good. Summer School is one of the best movies ever.
That's okay. Yeah.
It's written by Jeremy Stevens and Mark Reisman. And my note here is whenever there's a writing duo, I always assume that one of them is the idea man and the other one just is a good typer. I mean, they went on and they wrote, like, episodes of Frasier and stuff. This seems like this could have been a half-hour episode of a TV show instead of a movie. There's about 20 minutes of plot in this movie.
And there's a whole lot of setup.
Yeah.
Because first you've got to set up the family, then you got to set up the job, and the problem at work, and then the vacation. And then, oh, we're on vacation, let's set up the rest of the movie.
There's more montage in this movie than any other movie.
It's the A-Team. It's great.
It's nuts. This stars John Candy, Cary Grant from Goonies, Joey Lawrence, who's my second favorite Lawrence brother. Whoa. Rip Torn is in this. He's great in this.
You're going to do a noise for Joey, but you're not going to do Cary Grant?
What are you going to do for Cary Grant?
But it's Cary Grant.
She's not that whiny to me. John Larroquette shows up in this. I think he might have done a 5 and under in this. I really feel like his plot line had to have gotten cut.
Probably.
He shows up as an extra in scenes and stuff. He has like one scene in this movie. He doesn't get to be John Larroquette and be funny. And Karen Austin is John Candy's wife in this. She is B'Elanna Torres' mom from Voyager.
What else does she do?
Everything. She's done like one episode of everything. She's like done a Columbo. She's done a... But she's great in this. Cary Grant did the voiceover. She dubbed all of the Little Sisters lines in this.
Really? That was her?
Yeah.
Wow.
She did like all of them.
That's bad.
So they threw in jokes in this, like, why are you saying everything I say?
Really?
Yeah, little in jokes for the fact that Cary Grant was doing both voices.
Why wouldn't they just let the little kid do it?
Because she's
her voice
dumb.
Was bad?
I don't know, maybe.
She says it.
Yeah.
It's not like they had the talking baby stuff they have nowadays. It was film.
Right.
Why did they just record the kid saying it?
I don't know. It was all just ADR and stuff.
That's lame.
There's a couple of scenes where it's real obvious and weird.
Yeah, like bad.
For the most part, it's pretty good. And like, I gotta say, Cary Grant did a pretty good job with the VO work of sounding like a little kid.
I guess. There wasn't much of the kid, though, which is good.
No. Especially after last week with Follow That Bird. Like, I am done with kid stuff. I can't wait till John Candy's just doing hard R's.
So you're looking forward to...
JFK.
I was going to say The Rescuers.
Right. Oh,
that'll be fun. Ugh. We should do Camp Candy.
It's a sequel to A Rescuers, even.
Yeah. Doesn't this one have the controversy about the single frame of a naked woman?
Oh, you're right. It does. Yeah.
So there you go. You got something to look forward to in that movie.
I do. Thank God. That's why it's called The Rescuers Down Under.
Okay, so we've got a kid coming up to him saying, you ever cut class? He says, yeah. He says, then sign this.
I just have it opens on the house. My notes in this are just so like, this is what happens. Because it's just a bunch of stuff that happens.
It's all set up.
And then 20 minutes before the end, here we finally have a plot. Like, it's just, this is not a good movie.
I was annoyed he leaves and they give him some hard-boiled eggs.
Yeah,
but
no
they didn't
coffee,
peel them or anything.
Herbal tea, hard-boiled eggs. His car must stink because he's just cracking and peeling the egg while he drives.
Yeah.
Shells just into the car.
That really annoyed me.
So gross.
And then he gets the one that's not hard-boiled.
Right. And like, oh, I didn't tell him to boil the second one. It's bad.
Road rage is fun.
But he's an uber Christian. All of his presets in the radio are for like crazy evangelical radio stations. Every single one. And he's like, he acts like he hates it, but he's pressing his preset buttons.
Unless it's his wife's car or something.
I mean,
he traded cars for the day. We don't know any of that.
Somebody is a super weird evangelical.
Yeah.
Like to the point where every radio station on their presets, like I'm not bashing evangelical Christians. I'm just saying that you guys listen to music sometimes too. Not every station is preaching.
He must be in the Bible Belt or something, because how many places have that many stations locally?
I think he's in, like, Chicago.
Do they have that many stations?
There's no way.
L.A. doesn't have that many Christian stations.
Well, I mean, if you count Spanish language.
On the same band? Like FM versus AM?
Oh, no way.
That's the thing. He's in an old school radio. It doesn't automatically switch between FM and AM.
Right, yeah. He must be in, like, some weird Christian paradise.
Okay, enough Christian bashing.
I'm not bashing Christians. I'm just saying it'd be weird to have all like 8 of your presets be nothing but Christian talk radio.
I agree.
Like, listen to some music every once in a while.
They have music on those stations.
Yeah, yeah, just not in the morning. It's morning drive time Christian radio.
Some do. Okay, so he parks horribly, and he's walking into Pushington. I think you see Kevin Costner walk by.
Yeah.
Wrong movie.
That's Tin Cup.
I think you see
Cusack.
Yeah, I think you see John Cusack walk by. I even have Tin Cup written down here because I got the name wrong. Those two movies are bad and they just blend together in my head.
They do. Pushing Tin Cup. Oh, Supercut. Let's make that movie.
Sink a putt while a plane comes over you and launches you.
Yeah, Tin Cup has that plane scene in it, right?
I have no idea.
I think Tin Cup has, I don't know. Who
Pushing
cares?
Tin, you stand at the back of the runway and let the jet wash blow you back and almost kill you?
Right.
So do that while putting.
Just try and sink a hole in one backwards by hitting it into the...
Yeah.
Oh, man. I don't recommend anybody watch those movies. If you don't get those references, let it go, guys. Just let it go.
So he's distracted and he's trying to redirect some planes. And one of them responds back, what are you trying to do, mate us? These are a lot of really forced jokes in here.
It's not great.
So he gets a mandatory 5 weeks off because I guess there was a fly on his monitor.
Yeah, and he's losing it because the plane isn't responding. Which, by the way, he almost crashes two planes and then does the fly thing. Like, a deserved time off. He needed to be taken off of that job.
Yeah. I'm telling you, it's pushing tin. Because there's that guy who just totally screws up and he just...
We're Breaking Bad.
Okay, so he gets his mandatory five.
Five weeks?
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
We have his daughter.
Which I got a vacation every time I screwed up at work.
I know. Wouldn't that be great? And you get to come back. So his daughter has radio headphones. Those really old school radio headphones.
I remember
headphones.
Those. Those were great.
And they're leaving on their vacation. And as they're leaving the driveway, the little one says, I have to pee. Or, I'm sorry, what's her face says, I have to pee for the little one.
Yeah, Carrie Green. They're off to Citrus Cove, Florida. The music in this is like a training video. It's like training video music for like the video you have to watch on your first day at McDonald's.
It's a video you have to watch before you take your mandatory 5 weeks.
This is
how you take a vacation.
Right.
I have in here no seatbelts.
Nope. Who cares?
The 80s were weird now. Like, you look back and it's weird. And they pull up to this awesome house.
Yeah, the house is great. The place is beautiful. I love that. They walk outside, and it's John Candy and Joey Lawrence, and John Candy checks out that jogger running by, and he sees his son watching him, too, and he's like, what are you looking at? He's like, nothing. Oh, me neither. It's a good joke.
Tells some people that the dog only barks at people he likes. Just basic John Candy little jokes here and there.
His daughter hands him her headphones. She's been listening to the Beverly Hills Cop soundtrack.
Yeah. Axel F.
I don't think that teenagers were listening to Jan Hammer. Like,
that's a good song. It has to be a radio station that's playing that song.
That's true. That's true. But was that just radio airplay? Did that?
Probably.
Wow. Weird. I don't think I could just listen to that.
It's not bad.
It needs background to be music. Paired with Eddie Murphy doing hilarious things.
But not the way she's listening to the constant, like, I have to pee dancing.
Cary Grant's not a great dancer.
Well, at least the I have to pee, I'm listening to music, acting like I'm listening to music dancing.
Well, and I'm sure she wasn't listening to music either. They were probably just like, pretend you're listening to something and we'll just put something in later.
So let's do the pee-pee dance.
What would you do if it was just like dance?
I don't know, but I was really annoyed by her constant pee-pee dance.
I mean, I would do the, like, I'm getting electrocuted dance, the old breakdancing move.
Or the Carlton.
Yeah. If I was talented enough to do the Carlton.
Yeah, I can't do it.
So, the neighbors. The neighbors are awful.
Super stuck
people.
Up neighbors.
Yeah. They are, they're the neighbors from Christmas Vacation.
Yes, the old version. Just, old, snobby version.
Right, they're just not as hip.
And he gets this crazy sunburn.
Yeah, and the kids wake him up with a crab in his face.
I would have been so mad at my kids, and that crab would have been thrown.
I was woken up to a live lobster in my face once.
Ugh. I've been woken up to getting hit in the head and bleeding. I'd rather have that than a crab or a lobster in my face.
Wow. Usually it's the opposite. Hit in the head, knocked out. You know, like, hit in the head, wake up. And then, I mean, and like, the child-rearing constant barrage of, like, nut torture. Like, I think every person who's been a dad has been woken up to, like, a tiny foot in the balls.
Yeah.
It just happens. It's a thing that people don't warn you about either. Like, here it is, guys. Here's the truth. You have kids. You're going to get woken up on multiple occasions to a tiny foot perfectly placed right in your balls.
Hospitals make you show them your car seat before you leave. I think they should also make you show them your jock strap. Because I agree with that. That is painful.
They just do the test. Do you remember like playing T-ball? Like your coach would test you by just like hitting you with the bat?
That can't happen nowadays.
They give you a little tap with the bat.
That's early 90s. They don't do that anymore.
Right. So they're off to seafood dinner.
At the Yacht House?
And it's ridiculous.
Super stuffy, but they've got a line down the block.
I see a line like that and I go someplace else.
You get a line like that for a place that's not this stuffy.
You get a line like that for, yeah, like Spaghetti Factory on a Friday night.
Yeah, it's the next step down from that.
Red Lobster on any given Saturday has a line at least this long.
There you go, yeah. It's that kind of restaurant, not the Yacht House, super stuffy, where the yachting champion gets to walk in and wants to be there all the time.
Yeah, that place doesn't ever have a line. That place gets busy, but they don't have a line.
Yeah. One or two people waiting for tables, because not everybody's going to want to go spend that much money at that stuffy place like that.
Yeah, good point.
And those rich people wouldn't want to go to a Red Lobster of the neighborhood.
Yeah, the John Candy's family would be eating at, like, Applebee's.
Yeah.
By the way, new sponsor, guys, Applebee's. Eating good in the neighborhood. But yeah, I don't get that Yacht House. Yeah, that's a really good point.
Yeah. So they're in line, and the rich guy walks up and basically gets the table that it was next for.
Yeah, well, here, maybe we're sort of overvaluing like what this place is, because the maitre d' mentions that they don't take reservations, only for Mr. Regatta winner, the rich guy.
So why is the Regatta winner coming to this place? Why is he a regular at this place? It's like, why would you have a regular at a Red Lobster?
Yeah, it's a weird mix, right? Because you've got the guy who's a regular at the Red Lobster, and then everybody else just comes there and eats.
It's like the Newport Beach Red Lobster having the rich guy from Balboa over every night.
Right, he just hangs out at the bar. They have his trophies in there at the Red Lobster.
Yeah, because he hangs out there. You see him later there.
Yeah, he just chills at the bar.
At the bar. That's not a place that a rich guy would be going to that wouldn't take reservations.
You know what? This whole movie doesn't make sense to me now.
This did it.
Yeah.
We're an hour in and we're on page 2 of my notes.
So finally you get to the front of the line.
That guy gets the table instead. He's next. And they take the lobster over to the table for them to pick.
The last of the lobsters.
And John Candy goes chasing after it.
And he just loses it at the dude.
He proves he's a jerk because the guy he's with, he says, no arguments. This dinner is on you. And just laughs like a jerk. You thought I was going to say me, huh? this guy proves he's a jerk constantly through this movie. It's like, we know he's going to be a jerk because he gets that table. You know he's going to be a jerk because there's a confrontation.
Yeah, and I mean, he's 80s movie rich guy. I mean, it's just, this whole movie is pretty cliche. It's weird to me that this is one of many 80s sailing movies. Like, why are there sailing movies? It's not a popular thing people do.
It kind of is sometimes. I enjoy sailing. I wish I could do it.
No,
I haven't been sailing since I was a Boy Scout, but it's fun.
That means you haven't done this in 20 years.
More than that. So there's a whole fight about my table, my lobster, and then eventually it becomes, forget it, we're going to a good restaurant.
You know why John didn't get his lobsters? Because he didn't pull the move that you do to mark food.
He didn't lick it.
Exactly.
That would have been better than coming up and fighting. Just excuse me, and when he gets to the table, lick them.
That would have been a funnier move, too.
That would have been weird. So he's running out yelling about there are rats in the restaurant. So yeah. I don't know how well that works, but I like it.
I do, too. Never any rats at Applebee's, by the way. Eating good in the neighborhood, Applebee's. So they go to the Barnacle to eat.
On recommendation from the guy at the gas station.
Right. And they show up at the Barnacle. It looks, and even the music just screams Monkey Island.
Oh, I loved it. Yes.
It's so Monkey Island. I'm sure that this movie had to be watched by the creative team behind Monkey Island.
Maybe. Scully.
Rip Torn. Great.
Rip Torn. And then his little buddy, the Chinese pirate.
He's super weird. Just a weird, tiny Chinese old man pirate.
Playing a toy piano.
Yeah.
I loved that.
I only wish there was an even smaller version of him on top of it, a la Island of Dr. Moreau.
That would have been great.
I don't know how tall John Candy is, but that little Chinese guy is a dwarf compared to John.
He's small.
It's hilarious.
So Scully talks him into Scully's fresh catch of the day. And then he says, five Scully's fresh catch of the day? And the Chinese guy's down there opening the microwave, putting the food in the microwave.
It's fish sticks. It's frozen fish sticks.
Yeah.
Then we have the sunburn scene. John's sunburn is bothering him. And there's a lady's crawling on top of him, putting cream on him.
Yep.
Noxzema? Which, is Noxzema?
I don't know.
For that?
I have no idea.
Or is it a brand that has multiple products?
I'm not a woman, and I'm not in the 80s right now. So I can't answer that.
Okay, I mean, sorry. Thought maybe you might know. That's really weirdly confrontational.
At octopus/caveman at Twitter.
No let slash. Him know. No slash.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Can't have a slash in Twitter.
At octopuscaveman, you can let him know.
Please. So someone's at the front door, right? And
the dog is lazy.
Yeah, John Candy looks like a terrifying kabuki in this. Like, he's wearing, like, some weird robe.
His wife's robe. You didn't get that?
No.
He was trying to be funny.
It's big for his wife's robe.
Whatever. I don't know.
And then, like, the white, like, Noxzema with the sunbird coming in. It just looks like amateur kabuki makeup.
I don't know if Reiner's been doing great things by this point, but this feels like a test. This feels like 1941. Because this was enjoyable, but analyzing it removes the fun.
It really does. I think that this is one of those vacation movies. This is Blended, or like 50 First Dates. We're just like, why isn't this any good? Oh, because it did it in like a vacation spot.
Maybe, yeah. But this seems like testing things and like, okay, that didn't work. Let's try it again in a different movie.
Yeah.
But do it a little better.
Good point. Anyway, someone's at the front door. It's the owners of the house.
They think he's robbing them when he thinks they're breaking in. I don't know. It was weird.
Yeah. But basically, he had lane and road mixed up somehow.
Yeah.
Does that happen?
I have no idea.
Only in Long Beach, right? Do they have the same... Right? And then, like, Long Beach has...
Beach
like,
cities do that, yeah, I
Long
guess.
Long Beach has the same road cross itself twice.
Okay.
It's nuts. It does, like... It crosses itself. You can call your friend and be like, I'm lost. Okay, where are you at? I'm at the corner of Zimino and Zimino. They'd be like, okay, which one? Seriously. Little fun fact about Long Beach, you guys. It sucks.
I concur with that one. It sucks.
It's just a confusing, like, beach cities are nuts. All right, new podcast. Talk about urban planning.
Stop making podcasts. We have too many to do already.
I'm just going to start subbing them out, right? So eventually, like, next week, it's going to be you and Seth doing this. So the new owner comes in.
The owner comes in.
The owner comes in, chases him out.
The wives start chatting while they're packing up. Oh, this is really a lovely home.
Right. And John spills the kibble all over the floor. The entire bag just explodes all over the floor as he's leaving.
John Candy stuff as he cleans up, just talking, and oh, it's really good kibble.
The guy's like, leave it. But I wouldn't be like, I'd be like, no, this is like a $40 bag of kibble. Look, I'm going to clean this up.
Yeah, probably. And the dog's just eating it. And he's like, you know how much you had, or what happens to you when you eat a whole bag? Just B-level John Candy jokes. And then he comes back and says, I forgot my Noxzema. Walks upstairs. Walks back down carrying his daughter.
And my daughter.
And then she's like, oh, I wet my bed. Says, no, you didn't. You wet their bed.
I like that.
And just leaves. I liked that one.
The new accommodations that they end up, or I guess the ones they were supposed to be, they are Bundy family vacation level accommodations.
Ghetto house, construction site, path to the beach.
Yeah. So we've Cary Grant talking to a lifeguard the next day.
Well, the morning when they're sitting at the breakfast table and people start walking by, somebody just stops at the window, this big guy, and just starts picking his nose looking in at them.
I didn't even catch that.
How do you miss that?
I don't know.
Creepy people just walking by and staring in and talking. It's weird. And then who takes their kids to a nursery school on vacation?
The kid has to go to a school?
You know how the girls go to the beach and he's going off somewhere? He's taking the kid to the nursery school.
What the hell?
That's exactly my thing.
I didn't even catch that. That's terrible.
And when he finally gets back and walks all over the dumb people on the beach, that's the worst beach in the world. Why would you want to be there?
I don't get that. I don't know. I mean, Cary Grant's talking to that lifeguard, and then he's got...
Who do you think you are, Lolita?
Why are there... Yeah.
I don't want to be making those references to my daughter.
That's a gross thing to say to your daughter.
Yeah.
And then why do the lifeguards have just a like clothesline full of jock straps? What's that all about?
It should be swimsuits.
Right. Should be like banana hammocks if you're going to try and make that joke. But the jock straps is just a weird thing. Like, what do they have, a softball team?
I guess.
Second jock strap reference of the episode, by the way.
Huh.
Hmm, weird. We got monsters and honkers on the brain. Yeah, the hot sand walk and the walk through everything scene. Only thing I can say is that is like... That is a Herculean voiceover work. Ugh. That scene.
All those people and the weird, dumb things they're saying.
Yeah.
I have worst beach ever.
That is...
He steps on everything.
That's Anthony Newley level voiceover work.
It is. But they had like three people do it.
Yeah. He's pouring water from the cooler. The cooler
broke everybody. And it opened and it's pouring.
He's like, everybody who had one of those coolers, that thing always broke. That little flap thing that was just sealed to the little plastic thing.
How? I've got that and it closes just fine.
Well, you have one of the new good ones, the old little thin plastic ones. It was like an Arrowhead, like sports cap thing. It was just bound to break off.
Maybe.
Everybody who had one of those 80s coolers.
He ordered a part. It's on its way from Cleveland or something.
You can order those?
I don't know, but that's part of what he says while he's walking.
Pre-internet, you had to mail order that.
Yeah.
You had to find a Chinese manufacturer.
It wasn't Chinese back then.
No.
Those were made in America back then.
I don't know. Maybe South America. Yeah, the Frisbee scene. This whole movie is just like a bunch of vignettes.
He's bothered that Cary...
Cary Grant?
He's bothered that Cary Grant is talking to Mr. Mouth to Mouth. And she says, they're just talking. And he says, that's how she happened.
That's a good joke.
It's okay, but that's the kind of thing like, no, you get her ass over here if that's how she happened. My daughter, no.
Just talking?
Oh, I don't make that joke and let my daughter keep talking if that's what happened.
I mean, does this movie exist in a universe where talking gets you pregnant?
That's weird. As long as it's not based in Sesame Street, I'm happy.
It's the same street.
So he's horrible at volleyball.
Yeah.
Gets buried in the sand.
Yeah. And then he realizes he can sail.
Yeah. And then there was a frisbee scene.
Right. Yeah. He gets a frisbee stuck underneath a couple that are just making out at the world's busiest beach. Yeah. Where nobody goes in the water.
No.
I'm guessing that they filmed this when it was, like, cold out.
Probably.
Because everybody's just on the sand. And they mention in the movie and, like, radio broadcasts, there's weather reports that it's 105 and it's going to be 110.
No, that water would be full of people.
Right. Nobody's in the water. There's, like, only a handful of people.
They had probably had to do it in the winter because
that's my when
they
guess.
Had the beach free.
Right.
But you're making out and a frisbee hits you in the butt. You're going to stop and do something about that.
I mean, unless that's your thing and it's not planned.
Just maybe, but then you roll over on it at just the right time when he gets his hand there. And then the dumb joke, your girlfriend's on my whammo.
Whammo. It's rough. It's rough. The analyzing really ruined this.
Yeah. So after he realizes he can sail, and I'm a sailor, and he wants to take his kids sailing... He finds a place and...
Is that ever a thing that you forget? Like, oh, I forget. I could totally sail. I don't forget my skills. Maybe because there's so few of them, but I'm never just like, oh, man.
I know the basics of sailing, and I don't go thinking constantly, oh, you know, I should take my kids sailing.
Well, I guess...
But maybe, I could be at the beach and think, oh, you know what? I can sail. Let's do that.
But he says he's a good sailor, and he's not.
Oh, no, he's not. And he doesn't know the rules.
I think he's a sailor the way you're a sailor.
Like, yes.
He did it once a while ago.
Yes. See, I wouldn't do it again without a refresher course. Because yeah. I don't want to kill myself or ram a boat. So he ends up at the back of the barnacle and Scully rents him a dinghy.
And they crash into the...
And he's allowed... He was going to give him a refresher course. And he says, I already know how to sail. And he starts the motor.
Yeah.
I get that it's easier to get out on the water with a motor.
How else would you?
You could do it. It's just...
Paddle?
No, the sail. You just have to be good at it.
From the shore?
Sure.
Huh. I don't know anything about sailing.
The sailboats I used, we didn't have anything but sails.
Yeah, so he's out sailing with Joey Lawrence and they crash into the rich guy.
And they have some pretty good ADR during the sailing. And they're having fun sailing. Like, watching that actual footage... Joey Lawrence and John Candy are having fun.
Yeah, I'll bet being on a sailboat with John at Joey's age right there probably was great. Joey's probably got some great memories.
And that huge smile and the thumbs up, he was having a good time.
So yeah, they crash into the rich guy. This is a tough to talk about movie because I could just blow through this 1941 style and just hit the beats and be done. It's just not that eventful. You just have, here's a bunch of scenes. We're not even to where the plot happens yet.
I don't have anything between he hits the boat and the movie theater with the family.
Neither do I.
In a little bit, the family goes to a movie theater without him.
Yeah. John Larroquette shows up.
Oh, he hurt his knee when he hit the boat.
Right.
His bad knee.
So he's staying at home a lot.
Okay.
That's why he starts doing stuff separate from the family, because he's just laid up for a few days.
Yeah. He's got this weird inflatable leg bandage.
It's super weird. It's like inflatable like inner tube that you'd play with in a pool, but for a cast.
Yeah, it was weird.
I don't get it.
But the family goes to a movie theater, and she doesn't have her money. And John Larroquette walks up behind and says, take it out of this, and pays for their movie.
Doesn't say anything funny. Doesn't do anything funny. Doesn't do anything that you would be like, you know who'd be perfect for this? John Larroquette.
Yes, it was disappointing to see him in this role.
He had to have more. There had to be more to his part.
Maybe. It would have been good, too.
Yeah, maybe.
So they introduce each other, like each family introduces each other, and Larroquette's son has headphone radio or headphones. Does he have a Walkman or something? I don't remember.
They both have radios, but his is more like on the device on his belt.
Yes.
Hers are built into the headphones. Awesome style.
And she's doing the I have to pee dance, like acting like she's listening to music.
To the Kenny Loggins Footloose song, while the Footloose poster is directly behind them.
That's funny. I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
And he asks what you're listening to, and she says, and they start both doing
like the wave.
The weird I have to pee walking dance. It was just way overdone. I mean, sorry, she whines. The name of the radio station.
She doesn't whine every line. I like Cary Grant. I think she's great.
I enjoyed Goonies. The character was whiny in Goonies. In this, she whines for no reason.
I thought she was like super talented watching this, knowing that she did all that VO work for the little kid.
Maybe the VO work was good, but her actual lines, listen to them.
I think she's a talented actress. I wish she was in more stuff.
I'd like to see stuff where she doesn't whine.
I'm going to do popcorn with Carrie Green, and I'll be done this weekend because she was only like 5 days.
Enjoy.
Just solo.
If you can prove to me she doesn't whine every scene, then sure.
She doesn't. She's talented. She's great. She's also a huge fan. She's going to be so bummed because you're her favorite.
I'd feel bad, but...
How sad would that be? You just start getting, like, horrible tweets from her.
Oh, I'd feel bad. Because she seems nice and everything, but
just
I don't...
whiny tweets, like, why?
That might prove it for me. I'd be retweeting the heck out of that.
No matter what she tweeted to you, you would read it as that voice in your
right.
head.
You're right.
I love the show.
Yep.
So, JC's at home. The dog leaves his bone out in the rain, and he gets locked out. It's just so many, like, little bits.
I didn't write anything for that one. I skipped to the next day.
There's a lot you could totally skip. The beach. The weather report. It's 105 degrees out, but nobody's in the water. Again. He's alone. The neighbor, Vicky, shows up.
He's carrying lemonade.
He's carrying iced tea.
Iced tea? Okay, yeah. He's carrying iced tea and drops it as soon as she shows up?
Yeah. And then she mentions she's got lemonade at her place. He goes and has lemonade with her.
Leaving the door open.
So then people start barging into the house. First, a mom tries to
let her kid pee?
Yeah.
I guess an open door in that neighborhood means it's a party house.
Maybe. Yeah, makes sense. It didn't seem too weird to me. I thought, like, oh, this is a clever bit. Because you could see how something like that could snowball. And then another guy wants a glass of water. And she's like, sure, why not? You know?
I would have said, I'm sorry, it's not my house. I don't know. I can't answer for you.
I'm feeling like, go for it.
My kid's peeing, but I...
Would you help me get this TV into my van?
It was messed up.
So then back at Vicky's place, she takes her top off.
What do you think of these?
Right, and Vicky's got real ones, I'm pretty sure.
I don't know.
I'm not the expert, and that's not this podcast. It's a different one that we're going to start next week.
This movie does not contain nudity.
No.
So we don't see them. Outside of her bikini.
Yeah, but she takes them off and she says she got them for $2,000 and instead of getting Ed a chainsaw.
From what we see, they look real.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Terrible casting. Ruined the movie for me. But yeah, she's just showing them to him. And
asks him to feel them. Do they feel real?
And her husband's coming down the stairs and he's freaking out like he's going to be mad. Then Ed comes out and he's just like, just feel them and tell her, you know.
Yeah. Mister, will you try them and tell them they feel right?
Right. Weird male fantasy stuff here. This is like, what the hell was that movie? Splash level. Splash level weirdo male fantasy.
Yeah. So he gets home and he kicks everybody out, and the place is a mess. Then he gets upstairs to his room, and there's a big guy on the bed eating with the dog, watching the Smurfs.
That dude is pretty recognizable. I've seen him in other stuff.
I didn't notice.
He also kind of looks like Chumlee from Pawn Stars.
Oh, okay, yeah.
A little bit.
Huh. So, he says, you see the one where Papa Smurf takes the crutch and beats the hell out of some guy or something like that?
Yeah, who cares?
Basically finally scares the guy away. And the guy is the filthiest eater I've ever seen. You're at a beach, why are you in a house?
It's mostly cigarette butts.
Okay.
It's mostly just cigarette butts in the bed. And then just like beer cans crushed.
That was messed up.
So he's drinking at the Barnacle and playing darts with Scully.
Playing darts, and the darts are everywhere. That is a fun game of darts.
Riff Torn is so good as Scully in this. I love him in this.
He's being himself.
Kind of.
Just with a little bit of a pirate accent.
Yeah, I mean, him in this versus him in Men in Black, pretty different. But he's just so good in this.
Dodgeball?
Well, yeah, he's closer to his character in Dodgeball, but...
He's himself. This is him.
Yeah, I don't think so.
This is totally himself.
I mean, compare this character to Defending Your Life. Totally different characters.
See, that's being stuffy.
This is big brain food.
That was a good movie. It's a weird reference, but you're right.
The game of darts is pretty ridiculous because Rip Torn's got the dart in his arm and he's like, who threw this one? And he's like, you did.
Darts in the ceiling. They're everywhere. I love it. We used to play darts like that.
Yeah, pretty much. Remember this full force darts? You just give it the full pitcher's windup and throw it?
Yeah.
See how deep into the board you could get it?
Well, the other one of us is sitting below the dartboard.
We had some horrifying ricochets.
Yes.
There should have been more things lost and punctured.
Yeah, it was fun.
So then it's John Candy Sailing School with Rip Torn. Another montage. There's so many just montages. He wakes up. He's got his ear pierced. His wife wakes him up because they're headed out to the beach, I guess.
Yeah.
I gotta say, what is it about women where they just think that, like, hanging out in the sun is a thing to do? What is that? Like, let's go to the beach and just hang out in the sun. That's what we're doing today.
They want to get tan?
Is that a... what is that?
That's, people like having tans.
Like, I just don't... I don't get that. I've experienced that where it's like, this is a plan. Yeah, I'm going to sit here and do what?
You cook yourself just enough that you look right.
But, like, what do? You just lay there.
You wait until the turkey's done.
I mean, is it like nap time? I'm just going to nap?
Or... Sometimes you can read. You can listen to music. You can... That's what they do. They read magazines.
It doesn't seem like a thing to do.
Watch 80s movies at the beach. You can see what they do.
I mean, I just, if I'm going to the beach, I want to dig a hole. I want to hurt a jogger.
That's because you're 4 years old.
Yeah, I mean, mentally and emotionally, pretty much.
Yeah.
But, like, I want to do stuff.
Yeah, I remember digging holes that we couldn't get out of.
Right, you dig
that
into...
That was fun stuff. Yeah.
Just, again, super life-threatening. Dig until high tide and just like...
Well, you dig high enough up that you dig down to water. Yeah. And then it starts getting uncomfortable because you're like, the water's coming up, actually.
Yeah.
And I can't get myself out. Hey, help me out. No, I'm not going to help you. Get yourself out.
Let's just go to the beach and dig a hole, dude.
So Scully's teaching him about being a sailor again. And he tells him that you name boats after ladies to remember to treat them like ladies. And then he sings a song that his mom taught him.
All the sailing school stuff just gets so old.
But the song he's singing that his mom taught him, the sailing song.
The Love Boat theme.
It was great. And his delivery of that one was great.
Yeah, it was okay. And then I get, they go to a funeral home. What reason for John to pay the rent check?
The owner of the property died.
And sold it to the rich dude, the rich jerk guy.
Yeah.
So John
or
is
the
going,
estate sold it to him or something.
Yeah, so John is going there to pay his rent
check to the new owner.
And the guy just tears it up, says he doesn't want him there, he's got to get out.
Yeah.
And the family is like overly dramatic about, oh, we've got to cut our vacation 2 weeks short.
Well, doesn't he just right then make the deal?
No. He goes home first and then bitches with the family, then goes and meets him at Red Lobster.
My notes. Sailing montage, gets hook, real sailor, daughter is whiny, landlord dies.
Wow.
Signs papers on a coffin.
Yeah, that's where we're at. He signs it on the casket. He goes home, and the family is like losing it because he's got to cut the vacation short. And leave
here it is. The younger daughter is a parrot.
Right, because it's the same person.
Yeah. So he goes back. You're right. He goes back and he parks on the sidewalk of the
Red Lobster.
Red Lobster. Without a line this time, challenges Pellet, the new owner, to the regatta.
His name's Pellet?
Yes.
I didn't get that.
His last name was Pellet.
Huh.
I finally have that name in here.
That's funny.
Until 8 pages in for me to actually write his name.
He's just like either Rich Dick or Rich Jerk throughout my entire notes.
Squid's Dick?
Yeah, that's good.
Scully calls him a Squid's Dick.
Yeah. So he challenges him to a race.
Bets him 2 weeks of rent that he'll win the regatta.
Which is nuts.
It's stupid. You've never won and this guy's won every year.
Yeah. And then the next scene is he's telling his family about it.
He takes the popcorn from somebody.
The popcorn
and chokes
is
on
pretty
it.
Funny. Yeah, he grabs it from the rich dick. He grabs it and eats a mouthful after he makes the challenge. And he immediately starts choking. And the rich guy thinks it's like, oh, he's choking. Weird. And then he immediately starts choking as well. That's kind of funny.
It was okay.
Guaranteed it wasn't in the script.
No.
It had to be because it's too good.
It had to be John Candy ad-libbing or something.
Yeah. So when he's telling his family about the challenge, they think he's nuts. And then...
Dad, you want to sail the fish restaurant?
Yeah. The next scene is fantastic. Angus.
Angus, the Scottish dude.
Yeah. He's checking out the boat, and he is great.
And he gets called the you dumb sweet all the time. I love it.
I do, too. And we have a fixing the boat montage.
It's the A-team.
Yeah, John comes back filthy, his daughter's bummed out, and he has a creepy cheer-up-the-daughter talk.
The neighbors are there for some reason.
I don't know why.
to show off her boobs again?
Yeah, Ed and Vicky. They're probably having little kids check them out, you name it. But when he's chatting with his daughter, they're just kind of chilling in the sand. It seems like they're having a nice chat, and then she's telling a
story. Super creepy father-daughter scene.
Yeah.
It's not nice, it's creepy.
Until the dialogue happens, it seems nice. She brings up this joke. What happens when the sperm meets the egg, and some guy said, you smoke a cigarette?
Yeah, Mr. Mouth to Mouth says that.
Yeah. And he asks her, like, you're still a non-smoker, aren't you? Is he asking her if she bones down?
Yes.
Or if she...
Yes, he is.
That's really, really gross.
It is. Unfortunately, as a dad, you worry about that stuff.
How old is she?
I don't know.
Like, I know Cary Grant was probably 17, 18, something like that. But how old is the character?
Somewhere in there. High school.
Inappropriate.
Yeah. Well, as a father with a teenage daughter, you worry about this stuff.
Well, there we go. She's underage because he's like, what are you, Lolita?
Yeah.
So the character is, what, Lolita was like 14? I don't know. How creepy is this? We got to figure out.
It scares the hell out of me because I have a teenage daughter.
But is this Gary Puckett in the Union Gap young girl creepy, or is this like just a little creepy? How creepy?
Either way, I'm worried.
Mexicali Blues creepy? Anyway, more montage after this.
And another dumb Swede. I'm a dumb Scot. Same thing. It was just funny little joke.
There's so much montage. If you want to see tons of sailboats, dudes fixing up boats, dudes painting boats.
My note doesn't say more montage. It says more A-team.
Sorry. More Rocky.
So, husband and wife painted themselves into corners.
I thought that was a funny
She did
scene.
It on the deck, he did it inside.
Yeah, I thought that was cute. So, Angus is having a hard time finding a Sally or a sail for the boat.
Yeah, he ended up in Havana. He's still trying, he's everywhere.
Was it Havana or Savannah?
Havana.
Havana.
That, I think that was a joke.
Huh.
But because they're in Florida, he could go over there, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Then there's a can't sleep montage.
Yeah, and then the day of the regatta, Angus shows up with the sail.
Yeah, everyone's pacing, ready for the race, and Angus arrives.
Yeah, they're getting ready for the boat race. It's just...
They sail over to the start of the race, and as they're getting there, it just started.
Yeah, and...
So the judges are like, oh, they just made it.
And John Larroquette's just in the stands. It's the last time you ever see him.
Really?
Yeah.
So two scenes?
Two scenes. One where he has words.
Oh, he's such a funny actor. I love that guy.
Why do they... Why did they even keep the movie theater scene isn't necessary? Did they keep that just for the joke of, oh, teenagers wear headphones?
Probably.
And that's the whole reason he's just in this.
It's a filler scene.
It's nuts. You could have just cut him. The whole thing is scrappy underdogs in an 80s movie.
Yeah.
This is mind-blowingly cliche and just...
The judges are talking about, oh, it's the Barnacle. And they said, isn't that a restaurant?
It's a good joke.
You can name something after something else, or name something after something that a restaurant's named after as well.
Yeah.
Just because it happens to be a boat and called the Barnacle, you don't have to say, isn't that a restaurant? Not everybody would know that it's the restaurant that's sailing.
Yeah. It's kind of like my boat, the SS Applebee's. By the way, guys, Applebee's. Eating good in the neighborhood. Applebee's.
This is the weirdest, creepiest scene ever.
What, the race?
The Asian dude. And the little kid sitting in the door to the galley or whatever, the downstairs.
Yeah.
And the kid looks up and says something like, can I go play with whatever this guy's name is? I couldn't even understand it then.
Yeah.
The first time you hear the guy's name, I think. And you see the kid talking, but you hear some other voice.
Yeah, it's just bad ADR from Cary Grant.
I bet this one's not Cary Grant.
Maybe not.
Because it is so weird and bad.
Yeah.
It's like...
So you're admitting she's talented. Thank you. Cary Grant
does it.
The fine thespian.
She does some good child ADR.
That's a hell of a business card.
That's what I will admit to. And if you want somebody to whine, she's your girl. In the 80s, at least. I don't know anymore.
The whole like little kid with the old Asian pirate stuff, I thought was just cute.
It was just trying to be cute.
She's
it was weird.
Combing his hair. He's combing a dolly's hair and stuff.
Yeah, it was a weird child old guy scene, but it was okay. It wasn't that creepy. It was just weird.
I mean, it's not Con Air like...
Steve Buscemi with the little kid. Where you just see the doll on the table and you think, oh,
like,
crap.
Oh, he killed that kid.
And then you see her waving at the plane.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that scene.
Yeah. But the tension in that is intense. I didn't feel tense in this movie at all.
You're saying something about Con Air was intense?
Yeah.
Put the bunny in the box. Intense?
Con Air's great.
I don't know about great.
Cyrus the Virus?
Ugh. Oh, Bubba needs his insulin.
Oh, it's not Bubba in the movie. He's Bubba in Forrest Gump.
Yes, it's Bubba from Forrest Gump.
This whole race is just terrible.
It's pretty bad. It's a lot of montage stuff, and you don't know what's happening. A lot of sailing gibberish, but I think it's put together in a good way. Like, they're not saying it as gibberish.
Sails and hot air balloons are, like, the same patterns. They come in the same, like, nutty, crazy designs.
Yeah.
I just noticed that.
They're show-offy 80s craziness.
Right. Kind of like ski clothes.
So we get the montage of the sailing, and they get to the last leg, yell jibe ho, and they start falling behind. And for some reason, there's a freezer full of Scully's catch of the day.
Yeah, Scully told the, I think it's a Cuban dude.
Yeah.
And he told him to throw the freezer out and all the food, and then he told him not to. So they start throwing all the food out, and then they toss the whole freezer overboard.
Wouldn't that disqualify you if they see you just totally, like, littering?
It's just like environmental offenses. Yeah. Not in the 80s.
You throw a freezer full of Freon in the ocean.
This is a little slap on the wrist of your BP.
The fact that they were keeping up is pretty awesome then. You've got a freezer slowing them down.
I mean, yeah, they're the fastest ship out there by far. That's like an amazing just like boast move to like be keeping up the whole time and be like, oh yeah, by the way.
I'm not left-handed.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what this move is. Just like, let me get rid of this extra anchor we've been carrying.
That's funny. And it worked because all of a sudden they caught up.
Yeah, they catch up. And then John Candy uses the power of air traffic control to win the race.
Yeah, because What's-His-Face stole his wind. How do you steal the wind when you're in front of they're in front of you?
Yeah, isn't that called the drafting? Wind's coming,
I don't know. If the wind's coming from behind you and it's pushing you forward, the people in front of you aren't going to steal your wind. That's the worst sailing reference in the movie. I really was bothered by that. It's the other way around. You could steal their wind.
Right. Yeah. Drafting them and cut around. I don't know. Somehow there's a prop plane that goes up overhead or like
and a little, wobbles a little bit.
A little
and,
Cessna.
And his awesome...
air traffic control knowledge wins it.
Yep. So he pulls the left out of the way of the rest and kind of cuts around them. And then just not going to make it. So what's happening? He's standing there without his pants. And you see his pants up on the mast, giving them a little extra boost.
I guess. I mean, hooray. They win. The end. Like,
Pellet's childish.
He's blowing at his sails. But, like, that's the credits come just in a weird place. Just like, they win. The end.
Yeah. I think the judge says, I don't know if it's legal, but I like it. And pants for the win. And then photo credits.
I don't know. I don't want to dump on this movie because I don't hate it. It was no Follow That Bird.
When I watched it last year for the first time, I enjoyed it.
Same here. Last time I watched it, I enjoyed it. This time, taking notes.
We hadn't started this podcast yet.
Right.
And I wasn't analyzing movies yet.
Yeah.
And analyzing this movie just totally ruined it. Watching it again probably would have kind of hurt it a little again, but this ruined it.
Yeah. I mean, this podcast ruins movies for me all the time. Like, last time I watched Showgirls, guess what? A lot of plot holes. Doesn't really hold up. Not a great movie.
Does it have to be a great movie? It has to have a couple good scenes, right?
Yeah.
The kind where the tracking gets bad on the VHS because you watch it too much.
Right, yeah. Every time that pool scene with Kyle MacLachlan happens. Man. Yeah, I don't want to dump on this too bad because it's not an awful movie.
It was fun. It was dumb, but it was fun.
Yeah.
The cuts were all really rough. It's like they didn't want to spend any more to clean up the cuts.
I think it's
a transition.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of maybe some rough editing and just like vacation mode.
They just dropped their editing budget at the end.
Right.
Like, okay, let's not clean it up. Let's just leave it.
I got to talk to Larroquette about this. I'm going to give him a call.
Good luck with that.
I'm just curious, like, why have Larroquette just be a dude who just pays for tickets at a movie theater and then nothing happens?
Why have John Candy as a travel agent in a 1-minute scene? When he was known for his good work back then.
Yeah, I get it in that movie. We're talking about... I'm starting to lose the titles. They're going away.
I don't care about the title of that one.
We're talking about...
Oh, he's the rental car agent.
Yes, and...
The one where they're married and it was dumb, where it was two separate movies?
It was my favorite one so far, and I can't remember the title. Glenda Jackson, George Segal, A Touch of Class.
Nope.
That was the... No, it's the sequel, sort of, to A Touch of Class.
It's the You've Got Mail to Touch of Class.
Right.
Who cares?
Dude, it's going to drive me crazy. No, I got to know.
How about Tunnel Vision, where you have John Candy? You waste John Candy in a stupid commercial for a dumb show where he throws food in a hat box. Get head?
Yeah, it's bad.
or why waste John Candy lost as a state trooper for 30 seconds in a movie where he says, tell it to the judge. What an amazing line. Movies make bad choices with great actors.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. I mean, it happens.
This makes me disappointed in Reiner.
I mean, not me. It's just, like, bad stuff happens. You, like, you just, sometimes you don't, it's not a bad movie.
It's not, but I'm disappointed.
I don't think it's not worth ire. It's not worth any, it's not.
No, no. I don't have any ill will towards anybody because of this.
It would be hilarious if you did, just like.
This is my bottom. I hate this movie. This is worse than Follow That Bird and worse than Class of 44.
It's hard to beat Follow That Bird. I don't know. I don't, this
no,
is.
No, I enjoyed the movie.
I did too. I don't want to hate on it too much because it's just like, it's just. It's 80s candy. It's an 80s popcorn film. I would have gone to the theaters and I would have watched this and I would have been like,
great. 80s popcorn film.
Yay.
With candy.
I don't, it's not a bad movie. I just, there's not much to say about it either. It's not bad. It's not good. It's blah. It's like a perfect 5. Like, meh.
Out of 10?
No, out of like 12.
Well, it's over now.
Next week, Volunteers, right?
Yep. I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah, I haven't, I don't remember it. I mean, it's been a long time if I have seen it. It's one of those ones I don't remember much about.
Really?
Yeah.
You need to, yeah, watch this a couple times. It's really fun.
Really?
Yes. It's a little racist, but it's fun.
Oh, God. That's not a good sign.
No, it's okay, because it's kind of wartime. It's very mashy.
Is that 728 or 729? All right, guys. Well, we'll see you next week for Volunteers. In the meantime, you can check us out on Twitter at popcorn_with.
Find us on Facebook or visit our website, popcornwith.com, where you can check out all of our great podcasts.
There's a bunch of them. There's the great Rickcast with our friend Amanda. She talks about the films of Rick Moranis. We're bound to have some crossover, right?
Yeah, look her up, Amanda the Hoser, on Twitter.
She's awesome. Love her. Podcast on the Edge of Forever, where you can listen to Seth and Andrew argue about Star Trek.
About some pretty dumb stuff.
I love it. It's one of my favorite shows.
You know, an oven just heats things. It doesn't have to be open flame.
Exactly. That's one of the points.
I'm so annoyed by them.
Get in on the oven debates, you guys. Podcast and on the Edge of Forever is great. It's all about
Star Trek. How can they get on it? They don't have Twitter.
No, go listen to the show.
Yeah, but I want to argue with them and I can't.
Hit it up. At Chaotis Infinitum.
Spell that for people.
Chaotis Infinitum.
Okay.
And you can also listen to Alternate Endings where I
slaughter the endings of movies.
Me, along.
Rip on them like crazy.
I mean, there are submissions as well. It's not just me. It's me and Tracy Morgan at Tracy Mix Bag. She's writing the upcoming John Candy biography, Searching for Candy. But we ruin the endings of popular movies.
I didn't get my submission in for Titanic, so here it is. They both get on the board, the two of them together, sitting up, and they paddle their asses over to the boats.
Oh, that's a really good ending.
They live, I win.
Well, you should have submitted that in. That would have been a good one.
Stupid, lazy people. Let's just lay down and wait to be rescued in the middle of the ocean with hundreds of other dead bodies floating around you.
I mean, a.k.a. boats, right? You can just and ride a course.
In freezing water. Move your body to keep yourself warm.
Well, you would have died in 3 to 4 minutes. We went into that. 3 to 4 minutes exposed to that water, you died.
Right. Be moving. You'll warm yourself up. Be close together. You'll warm each other up. Paddle your ways over to that boat, and it's coming towards you anyway.
Well, yeah, listen to all those shows. They're great. They're the best.
They are amazing. And then like, we'll, they will blow your mind, except for the name of the Star Trek podcast.
Quit. All so right, bye. Guys. See you next week.
If we come back.
Well, not see you next week. I mean, I'll talk at you next week.
Hopefully.
Bye, guys.
Sorry, folks. Park's closed. The moose out front should have told you.